Very good music this morning. It's amazing what you can take a board and a piece of strings and stuff, and then somebody's got talent can really make it sing out. If I got on there, it sounded like two cats running around chasing one another in Bob Barnyard somewhere. Anyway, welcome in to Cook's Church. Today is Men's Sunday. As you can tell, I'm not Jason. Jason's sitting in the pews taking a break today. He might have to come in here and bail us out here in a little bit, but we'll just play it by ear. Like I said, got a few announcements this morning. Coming up in 2 weekends on October the 30th, it's our Fall Fest. We're going to be from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock. It'll be in the parking lot in front of Fellowship Hall. There'll be games, catwalk, face painting, hay rides, balloon creations, and there'll be a costume parade for ones of you who like to dress up at 5 o'clock. The men's going to be cooking hot dogs, and you can get hot dogs, chip, and a drink, two for a dollar, three for $2. So you can't find a better bargain anywhere. So look forward to all of you bringing your candy. We need individual candy wrapped up to give away as gifts and stuff for the kids that show up for the trick-or-treat or whatever you want to call it out there in the parking lot. A couple other announcements. I understood that Miss Jenny Dunn had a birthday either yesterday or today, sometime around. But somebody told me she was 29 again times 3 minus 2. Is that right? Happy birthday, Jenny. I also heard that we've got a champion in the ranks this morning, Miss Lily. Her soccer team, which was rated last, ended up coming into a tournament and won and took the championship from the whole works last week. While we're on the Bryant family, Jason has a Bible boot camp that he started up. And what it does is a bare-bone understanding of the Word of God. For more details about this, be sure to read his article in our e-news. It was either mailed or emailed to you. And if you want more information personally, just email Jason at church or give him a call, and he'll give you the information on how to join up with him. The beautiful flowers this morning are from the Ambassadors for Christ Outreach. For the ones of you who don't know who it is, that's Mama Jean and her ladies that does the community meal once a month over in the fellowship hall. And they put a little footnote, they enjoy serving us in the community, and we have made it even more of a blessing for them. But we appreciate it more than you know. Thank you. So if anybody else has any more announcements, then we'll open up our service with a call to worship. If you'll please join me in the reading in the bulletin. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord is good.
His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
All right, if you would join me with opening prayer. Thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessing over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, you're always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we may have freedom and life. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are and for all you do, for all that you've given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits, fill us with peace and joy. We love you, we need you, this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, will you please stand and join us in hymn number 837, What a Fellowship.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is righteous and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And please join me in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, your design for humanity is immensely good. You invite us to love you with our whole hearts. You encourage us to have a childlike trust in you, but our sin has corrupted that design. So we worship false gods, we love ourselves more than you, and we believe that we can earn your favor. We are often running in the wrong direction, pursuing the wrong goals, and seeking the affirmation from the wrong people. Forgive us for our confusion and corruption. Cleanse our hearts from our sinfulness and reorient our lives to honor you only. In Jesus' name we pray. And let all the people say, Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we have been eternally claimed by an eternal and loving God. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Please join me in our affirmation of faith by repeating the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, if you would, please turn in the red hymnal to hymn number 408 and join in singing There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
We'd like to invite all the kids to come down for a special time just for them. Here comes one more. How's everybody doing this week? I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. When my son Ben was around, he was about 2.5 years old when Lily was on her way. And I don't know if we just didn't happen to tell Ben about, you know, that we knew it was Lillian. But Ben declared to us one day that we were going to have a son and that we were going to name him Captain America. It was kind of an interesting choice, I thought, but he seemed pretty confident about it, so, you know, we didn't correct him. Now, I was there the day he first met his little sister, and it was really a beautiful and wonderful thing, and so it all worked out. He didn't get a younger brother that he got to name Captain America, but I think we all kind of sometimes think about having another sibling, having a bigger brother or even an older sister. You know, I didn't have that experience growing up. Silas, you are, right? You know what it's like to have... It's horrible, all right? It definitely is. All right, well, there's some ups and downs with the real big brother. But I think it becomes very easy to imagine if you will, a really good big brother, right? You could, no, you can't imagine it. Well, you know, I'll tell you, kids, I didn't get a big brother. I got a really wonderful sister. But, you know, sometimes you need somebody that kind of gets what it is to be like you. And I didn't get that experience. But I want to tell you, I didn't as a child, but the neatest thing about being in a church is that you get to have those experiences as you get older. You see, I didn't have a big brother growing up. And I didn't have somebody that joked around with me or taught me some things I needed to know in a non-parental way. I didn't get that. But in a church, I do. And this is a great church to talk about that in. You know, the men are doing the service today, and that's a real blessing because I get to hang out with you guys, basically, and this is all I'm going to do the entire day, right? So that's a pretty good deal for me. But the better deal is actually getting to watch a group of men that are becoming like my older brothers lead worship with the joy of Jesus in their heart. One of the things about being in a smaller church, guys, is that there is the recreation of the original church's feeling and drift toward being a family. And I find that experience to be amazing. And these guys have things to teach me that I don't know. Like, I'm learning to make a table. This is from a guy that generally cuts himself in the first 5 minutes of sawing, right? Why? Because my older brothers want me to learn a thing or two. You know, when you're in the church, you're going to get to be an older brother or an older sister too. Next weekend, we're going to baptize little Levi. And little Levi, in a way, and we'll talk about it more next week, little Levi, in a way, is going to be like your little brother. And you're going to be charged with protecting him and teaching him what he needs to know and basically ribbing him if he needs a little ribbing, but most importantly, guidance when he needs guidance. And you see, most of you probably have an older brother, some better than others, right, Silas? Right? Ethan, I know you're doing a good job. You're keeping him in line. No, you're not. No, come on. Guys, the church is a great opportunity for you to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, incorporate new and wonderful big and little brothers and big and little sisters throughout all of your life, and it continues even into your 50s and beyond. Let's thank God for that great blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the blessings of family, both those that are biologically wired toward us and those who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are joined with us. Here at the Font, allow us to all recognize that we're members of one big, joyful, and occasionally dysfunctional family. And yet in that space of family, O Lord, allow us to be knit together in your holy and everlasting love made possible by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. All right, guys, you guys have a great day, and I'll see you next week.
Morning, congregation. I'm going to read the prayer of illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breath into us that we may hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into communion, enable us to love, inspire to make us one with you and for the world you so deeply love. Amen. Now I'm going to read the Old Testament reading, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 21. Thy wisdom dwell with prudence and find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance are the only way of evil is prevented speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me things reign, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By my princes, rules, and nobles, all was given who justly. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasures. This is the word of God for the people of God.
The New Testament reading for today is in two parts. First is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. You can find this on page 1119 in the Pew Bible. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Next, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. On page 1171 in the Pew Bible. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Morning. Hope y'all are doing good this morning. Beautiful day, isn't it? Many years ago, my aunt, Olivine Latham, most of you probably know her, remember her, taught me a little prayer. It was Psalms 19:14. And it's, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Seems to be a simple little prayer, doesn't it? But think about it. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Everything I say and everything I think acceptable to God. I miss the mark. I fall way short. I've got several stories I want to share with you this morning. First one, there was a man walking through the jungle, and he stepped off in a quicksand pit. He struggled. He couldn't get out. So he prayed, Lord, if you help me out of this pit, I'll quit cussing. He sank up to his waist. He said, Lord, if you help me out of this pit, I'll quit cussing and go to church every Sunday. Sunk up to his arms. Lord, if you help me out of this pit, I'll quit cussing. I'll go to church every Sunday and give half of everything I own to the church. A vine fell down. He grabbed it, pulled himself up. He stood there on dry ground, shaking himself off. Never mind, God, I got it. How many times do we pray to God and get exactly what we prayed for and then think how good we were at getting out of the situation or repairing whatever it was that the situation we were in? How many times have we failed to acknowledge what God has done for us? Many years ago, I read this story in Reader's Digest about a man talking to his young son, and the boy asking, "Daddy, you ever pray?" It gives me cold chills to think that one of my kids would ask me that question to start with. But "Do you ever pray?" And the man said, "Yes, son, I did pray one time." He said, "I'd gone on a hike." He said, "I was supposed to meet some friends 10 miles into the woods and bought a brand new pair of hiking shoes and started out on this hike. Well, about 2 miles in, noticed my feet started hurting, and I kept walking." He said, "And the further I went, the more my feet hurt, and about halfway there, I stopped by a creek and took my shoes off. My socks were bloody, and my feet were a mess." He said, "I knew I couldn't go on. It's too far to go for my friends, too far to get back to the car. What am I going to do?" He said, "I prayed. All of a sudden, I heard something behind me, and look, and here's a horse with a saddle and bridle standing behind me. Got on the horse, rode it back to my car, and in the parking lot was this man standing there, and he said, 'I wondered where this horse went.' He never wanders off." The man never mentions praying again, thanking God for this horse being there. How many times are we like that? Maybe he's like the first guy and just thought, "Well, that's just an accident. This horse just got out, and it's okay." We forget to thank God, don't we? We forget to thank him for for what he's done for us and for our answered prayers. And the man said he never prayed again. Third story, I lived. As was read to you earlier, 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." And the 1st of March, we found out Pauline had cancer. Excuse me. Hard to talk about sometimes. The day we found out about it, we prayed in the doctor's office. She had a tumor, and it's had to go in the hospital. She was in the hospital 60-some days. I found out that I could visit from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so I did. I stayed with her in the hospital. She didn't know much because she was sedated. She was in so much pain, but she couldn't stand the lights on or any loud noises. So I would sit and watch this TV with these pictures, nature pictures, scrolling across, and I prayed. I prayed continually, it seemed. And it's for the first 2 or 3 weeks, like I said, she was sedated and didn't know anything because of the pain. But I'd sit with her and pray, and I even found out that I was praying subconsciously a lot of times. When she finally came around, it had been a while since we'd even had a conversation. We prayed then. Non-believers may wonder, what's all this praying good for? What has it done? She still has cancer. Sure, she still had cancer, but Jesus was with us. So it wasn't okay that she had cancer, but it was great that we could feel the presence of Jesus being there. I thought a lot about the promise of a new world, and that is what got me through the time that Pauline was in the hospital and up even to today, that she was not always going to be sick. I didn't know if she was going to be healed or not or what was going to happen. But I knew there was a better day coming, and I knew that that Jesus was with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go through the fire, didn't they? They had to go through the fire, but they were not alone. Jesus was there. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. When they came out of the fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. What was the only thing burnt? The bindings that they had been tied with. Their clothes weren't burnt. There was nothing burnt about him except for the bindings. The Bible doesn't tell us the bindings were burnt. I take that for granted because it says they walked out. They had not walked out. Isaiah 14:32 as God says, I will be with you. The river won't drown us and the fire won't burn us up. It doesn't say we don't have to go through the river or the fire, but it says that he will always be with us. He'll never leave us. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Verse 13, I will help you. He won't forsake us or leave us. He will always be there with us. I've been asked many times, why is there so much pain and suffering? And my answer was always, this ain't paradise. This is the world. This is the old earth, and it will go away. And as I said, this is what got me through the time that Pauline was in the hospital and the time after and today, knowing that we will all be healed one day. We won't, I may look like this. Gee, I kind of hope not. But it's, I will have a healed body. There will be no pain. And that's what I knew, that with Pauline, she was going to be better. I may not see it immediately, but she was going to get better. As I said earlier, I prayed a lot. Walking through the parking lot, I would pray from the time I left the house till I got to the hospital, from the time I left the car till I got to the room. And walking through the parking deck one day, it dawned on me. I have been selfish with my prayers. Have you ever felt like that? You've been selfish with your prayers? I have a list of people and things that I always pray for, and I had left them out. I told God, I apologized to God. I said, I have been selfish. The only thing I have prayed for is Pauline and for the people that are taking care of her. I had left everybody else out, and so that changed. A few days later, I was walking through the through the same spot. That's been a special thing about that spot in the parking deck. It was about the same spot. A thought came to me, everything works better for the people that love God, no matter what your situation or what it is. It will be working for the betterment of God. I told God, I don't know what good is going to come out of Pauline having cancer. But here we are. Use us. Use us for what you can, and let us be a light if we can. It's about the time Pauline was starting to come out of this drug-induced stupor, she wasn't just passed out all the time, but she's never really that coherent. But when she was starting to come out of it, we were sitting and talking. She was laying. And she was asking me what had gone on. We had prayed, and I was trying to explain to her what had happened. And this chemo nurse was in there working on her chemo. She got chemo 5 days a week, 24 hours a day, for three different sessions. And didn't know she'd make it through it. But anyway, this chemo nurse was in there, and we were talking. And she said, I wouldn't say this in front of my parents, but y'all are my favorite couple in the world. In a little bit, she said it again. We had done nothing special except for show a love for each other and a lasting love for God. We need to be able to show people, show the world, that even though things aren't perfect, even though it looks like things are really going bad, we still love God. We still know He's there. Thank you. He's with us always. He has told us that. A few days later, I'm walking through the hall, going to Pauline's room, and this nurse stops me. I said, why are you so happy all the time? I said, God. She looked at me, and she's a good answer. Later that day, I'm leaving, and she stopped me and said, thank you. What for? She said, you fill my cup and reminded me of where true happiness comes from. My prayers were answered in those two instances that Yes, God, use us. Use us for whatever way you can. Use us to show people. We love you. It doesn't matter, or even though Pauline's sick, our situation isn't great, but it's going to get better. We can look and see a bright light. We may not be able to control the circumstances we're in, but we can control our attitude. The only way I know to control my attitude when things aren't going good is through prayer and through God and His strength. He will help me make it through the bad times, and that's the only way. Paul said in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. As I said, I did. All my prayers weren't asking for something. Most were thanking Him. Thanking Him for the time that Pauline and I had. Thanking Him for the people that were working on her. For the medicine that was there. Which, you know, when you get healed of something, and you look and you thank the doctor and all this great medicine. This medicine, it comes from God. These doctors come from God. They may not realize it all the time, but they are God sent. They are used by God, whether they know it or not. I thanked Him for the family and friends I could call on, and I did. I had some friends. I was a mess. I was junk, and I had friends I could call on that would help me walk through this bad time, and it's that was good. Praying so much for the same thing. You know, you sit and you pray and you say the same thing over and over every day. And then you start to think, or I do, maybe y'all don't. Maybe if I change it around. Maybe if I say it different. What can I say? How can I say this different? That kept coming to me. I've had those thoughts. Romans 8:26 tells us we don't know what to pray for or how we should pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. God knows what we're trying to say. We don't have to be eloquent. It's a good thing we don't. I'm junk. We don't have to be eloquent in what we say. We don't have to have long, lengthy prayers or wordy prayers. Just sometimes, thank you, God. Help me. Forgive me. That's what He wants. He just wants us to come to Him. He wants us to walk with Him and talk with Him all the time in all the things we do. God knows what we need in our prayers. He knows it before we even say it. Why do we have to pray? If He already knows, why do we have to pray? He wants us to have that time with Him, the relationship. It's about, our prayers are about a relationship with God. It's not about coming to Him and begging Him for something, thanking Him, and just being glad that we can be with Him and have Him with us. He understands our shortcomings and understands that we don't know what to say or how to say it all the time. In Matthew 8, Mark 4, and Luke 8 is the story of Jesus in the storm. Now, I have read this and read it, and maybe I should have come to Jason and asked him, why did God or Jesus get upset with the disciples? They were in a storm. A storm comes up. Jesus is asleep in the front of the boat. And the disciples are scared to death. They're afraid they're going to drown. This boat's going down. So they wake Him up. Hey, how about a little help here? Just paraphrasing. And He gets up and He says, why are y'all so afraid? And tells them they have little faith. If you think about it, I did. I thought about it a lot. When I'm in a bind, I call on Jesus. I don't always ask Him to change the situation, but I ask Him to help me through it and to be with me. He was already with them. That boat wasn't going down. They might get their feet wet, might get their knees wet, but the boat wasn't going down. He was already there. They didn't have to worry about that. They wake Him up, and that's okay. But that, I think, is the first time that they prayed to Him. I would call it praying. They went to Jesus and asked Him for something, asked Him for help, and that is our prayer, isn't it? They were worried. When you're in a tough situation, you need to call on him. During Hugo, our whole family was gathered at our house. Of course, we did some praying, did a good bit. It was a tough thing, wasn't it? Well, I was tired and I went to bed. Everybody else is watching and worrying. Well, the wind blew and the trees started falling and woke me up. What am I going to do? I can't do anything. I figured I needed my sleep. So that's what I was doing. But they wasn't a thing I could do. But they just wanted me to be with them. The disciples had Jesus with them. And so do we. He's there with us. How many times have we asked for help? Now, let me step back a minute. When Jesus got up, he stopped the wind and he stopped the sea. Dale's been on the water a lot. When the wind quits blowing, the water don't just lay down, does it? It keeps on for a while. He's calmed the water. I picture it as just mirror. It's flat. Now the disciples are wondering, what kind of guy is this? Who is this? What did they expect him to do when they woke him up? Maybe this is why he said, ye of little faith, because they did not yet understand who Jesus was. When in the hospital, early on, about a week and a half, 2 weeks in, doctor came in and she said, hospice ain't all that bad. I thought, what? So I followed her outside and said, what are you talking about? And she said, your wife is not healthy and chemo may kill her. And she said, I give her about a 15% chance to live. I said, I'll take it. 15% chance and God, we're all right. So I prayed some more and prayed for her to live, for the pain to go away. My prayers were answered. She's home now. The pain's gone. Life's different for us. And that's okay. It ain't perfect, but it wasn't perfect to start with. I asked for the cancer to be gone. It's gone. She has no cancer today. Yes, praise the Lord. I've got faith that that's what did it. I know it is. She is cancer-free. She lost the use of her left leg, but that's okay too. I wish she could walk, but the thing is, when we found out in the hospital that she may not get it back, and she asked me one day, what if I never get my left leg back? What if you don't? We're together. We love each other, and we'll keep on going, and that's what we're doing. We will carry on with Jesus' help. He is with us all the time, and we know this. Like I said, life isn't perfect today, but it's life. This ain't paradise. This is the earth. If anything, this whole thing made our love stronger for each other and our love for God stronger. We spend more time together now, sitting on our front porch. That ain't a bad view, is it? Sitting on our front porch. We enjoy being there. And we thank God daily for where we are in life and for still being able to be there. Prayer is the answer. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, go into your closet and pray. We need quiet time with Jesus, with God. So he said, go find yourself a dark place, a place alone, and pray. That's personal time. Paul said, pray unceasing and everything give thanks. You may find it hard to give thanks when your wife's laying in the bed with cancer, but there are things to be thankful for. Like I said, be thankful for the doctors he sent and the nurses and the CNAs that take care of her. Be thankful for the facility. Be thankful that you've got the chance that she's going to live. I was. God wants us to live a life of communion with him. I believe this is what Paul's talking about when he says pray unceasingly. It is a walk with God and a communion with him to where we are in constant communion with Jesus and with God through him. So if you're 5 miles into a hike and your feet are hurting and you can't make it anymore, and you hear a horse, this ain't an accident. God sent him. Amen. The NIV Exhaustive Concordance says, pray is in the Bible 121 times, prayed 68 times, prayer 106 times, praying 36 times, and prayers 32, for a total of 375 times. There are over 100 verses in the Bible about prayer. With all this talk about prayer, sounds like God wants us to pray to Him, doesn't it? With that, let us pray. Lord, I thank you for another day. I thank you for the chance to come and worship you with others that love you, and another opportunity to serve you. We pray for this church that we can spread the word of your love to those around us. We pray for this nation that our leaders will look at you, look to you for their making their decisions, and they will lead us with you in their hearts. There are so many in pain in one way or another. We pray you bring them to comfort. We pray for all those that are listed in our church bulletin. We pray for David Myers, Max Love and family, Jack McClure, Jill Griffin, Dennis and Debbie Abernathy, Pauline Harper, Corky McClure, Tom McClure, Annie Lucky, and as I said, many others that are on the prayer list. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of Jesus. It was He who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
This morning's been a special day for the men. Always is. We got a special group of men. I always enjoy going to the men's meetings. These men do a lot of work in this church. Many don't know the things they do because most of the time they're working behind the scene. They don't work in the front. I want to thank them all for the service this morning, for coming and presenting the service. I always like to see this, and I appreciate you guys coming and doing this. Thank you, James, very much. We're going to have a... Let me see what I got on here next. We'll have an offering. So, y'all come on down and get the offering. Don, you're going to sing.
Thank you. The marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the streets. All the buildings are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the cold room, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gate. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that He has mended, those from prison He has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, who were broken and suspended as the King comes through the gate. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, He's coming for you and me.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we have given You riches beyond measure. We can only return the fractions of what we owe You, but we ask, Lord, that You will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in Your service for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Know what you live, an eternal life in Jesus Christ. Fear not the things of this world. Help others. Share the gospel. The grace of the Lord Christ and the love of God and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate it very much.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice.